today is a special day. In addition to the wedding of Josh and Jalen, today is also a special day. We are adding a new addition to our church community here. His name is Superior Nathaniel Mitchell. We are blessing him today. He is the son of Kendra back there. Come on, y'all, give her some praise this morning. And she asks to have her son blessed. And so we are excited to see what God is going to do and what he's going to speak over this young man's life. And I wanted to take this opportunity to speak to you all and clear up some confusion. Because whenever we have events like this, I'm always approached by people to say, Pastor, are we going to christen the baby? Anybody ever heard that term before? Are we going to christen? And many times I just have to set it straight, because we have parents that will come and say, hey, Pastor, you know, I want to christen my baby. And I have to tell you, we don't christen babies here. And apparently a lot of people don't like that. And so I said, you know what, maybe I ought to take some time and just talk about this and clear up the confusion. Amen. How many of you have heard that term christen before? So we're going to clear this up. Take out your Bibles, if you will. You're going to have many passages to turn to. But I want to talk to you this morning about why we don't, as a church, why we don't christen. And quite frankly, I just don't believe it's biblical. How many know that everything in the church is not biblical? You don't have to take my word for it. We're about to talk about it. But everything in there is not biblical. And so let's just first start off with, what is christening? What is christening? If you do any type of search, and I would encourage you as we talk through this to go on your computer when you get home and just start looking up stuff, because everything that's in the church, again, is not biblical. It's just not. And I think sometimes because something is popular or something that is said around church, everybody just does it. And like that's what we're supposed to do, and it's really not that. What is christening? If you go look it up, a basic definition of christening is the ceremony of baptism. Somebody say baptism. Baptist. Christening is normally done in Catholic and Anglican churches, right? By definition, if you go look this up, christening is the ceremony of baptism. So it is a baptism ceremony, all right? It is the ceremony of baptism, especially as accompanied by giving of a name to a child, all right? So christening is a baptism ceremony, generally to where the parents name their child a biblical name, amen? But it's a baptism. Somebody say baptism. Baptism. It's a baptism ceremony. Christening is normally designated for infant and for children. Right? How many of you have ever been to a baptism or a christening of an adult? Right? It doesn't happen. Now, I read on there that there are some churches and denominations that will sometimes use that for adults, but 9 out of 10 times when you hear the word christening, it's for an infant or a child. That's important. That's why I'm laying this out. It's for an infant or a child. It is a baptism ceremony. Thirdly, they had on there in one of the Catholic sites, during christening, water, which is blessed in the church's font, maybe some fountain or something there, will be what? Poured over the child's head by the vicar, the presiding person who's ever presiding. That is the child's what?
Baptism.
It's a sign of a new beginning and becoming a part of God's family. Do you see that there? So during the baptism or the christening, how many of you have ever seen that in the Catholic Church? They get that water, they sprinkle it over your head. It's nice and neat and real clean, right? You know what I mean? Would you as adults want to rather have it that way? But the question is christening biblical? Is that what God tells us to do? Should we be doing that as a church? And my answer, as you know, if you've been here any while, the answer for us is no. So the first thing is, let's deal with this, is of the definition, I don't necessarily agree with everything that I just said to you. How many know that the first part where it says accompanied by giving of a name to a child? Now, ain't nothing wrong with giving your name, or giving your child a biblical name. Would we agree with that? Right? When you have the christening ceremony in many of those churches, what they do is they name their child a biblical name. That's good. Praise God. We should be doing that. In fact, if you just had your child, please take a little time and do some research on what you name in your child. Because sometimes I've heard some names that's like, did you look that name up? Because it's just a mess. You should not be calling your child that. So there's nothing wrong with having a ceremony, but can I tell you something? You don't need a ceremony to name your child, right? That's what I'm saying. Don't miss what else is going on here. It's not just a ceremony to name your child a biblical name. There's some other stuff going on there that's really not biblical, right? But we can agree on that. It's great to name your child a biblical name. Do your research, figure that out. But the second thing is, it says that it's a baptism ceremony. When you Google it, it'll tell you that it's a baptism ceremony. So the first thing we have to understand is, and we should ask the question is, does the Bible say that we need to be baptized in the first place? Now, for those of us who've been in the church a long time, you know the answer is yes, but I can't take it from that position. There may be some people in here who are questioning, do I need to be baptized? So let's first answer that question. Does the Bible say that I need to be baptized? The answer is definitely yes. Jesus himself, now we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, before he ascended back up into heaven, he met with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, we call it the Great Commission. They've been talking about it in the first hour over and over and over again, and I want you to listen to his words. Matthew chapter 28, in verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Watch what he tells his disciples, his apostles, what they're supposed to be doing. He says, I want you to go ye therefore. I want you to teach all the nations, and I want you to what? I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy what? So here we have record to where Jesus requires and told his disciples, I want you to go as my leaders and baptize folk, right? So if you have Jesus saying that you're supposed to baptize folk, how many know that that's good enough? Okay, Jesus said it. I want you to also look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, this was the day of Pentecost, to where the Holy Spirit came down, and it says that it came on the apostles and they started speaking in other tongues and cloves of fire. Everybody remember that? And the Bible says that Peter stood up while the Holy Spirit was on him and anointed him, and he preached a message. And he preached the gospel pretty much all in that whole old chapter of Acts chapter 2. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, beginning at verse 38, listen to what Peter said. Peter said unto them in verse 38, repent and what? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remissions of sins, and you shall what? Okay, so now you have Jesus telling his disciples that they need to baptize folk. Now you have Peter, who was the leader of the apostles, who just received the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, preaching a message, and at the end of his message, everybody is stirred and saying, Peter, what do we need to do? And Peter, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, standing as the lead apostle, says, you need to repent and be baptized. Do you see that? So you have now Jesus and Peter and the Holy Spirit commanding or authorized that we need to be baptized, right? So what that tells you is that baptism is not optional. Amen's down, went down. Listen, it's a command. Jesus said you need to be baptized. The Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said you need to be baptized. Peter, as the apostle and leader of the apostles, commanded that the church be baptized. Amen. Are we good there? So the first thing is it a command that we be baptized? The answer is yes. If you have not been baptized, you need to pay attention to what I'm saying, because this applies to you. There is a command out there that says you should be baptized. Now, the question then becomes, well, what is baptism? What does it mean to be baptized? And is pouring water on somebody's forehead baptism? Right? Because if Jesus says you need to be baptized, don't you want to be baptized, right? You don't want to get there and find out that what you thought was baptism actually really wasn't baptism. Right? So the question then becomes, we know Jesus says that we should be baptized. Well, what is baptism? Baptism is defined in the scriptures as a ceremony by which a person is immersed. Somebody say immersed.
Immersed.
Dunked. Or submerged into water. Is that clear enough? Let me say it again. It means immersed, dunked, or submerged into water. Now watch this. Because see, I know some of you, when you hear the word christening, you're like, Pastor, why are you teaching on this? Because it's confusing and a lot of that stuff ain't true. Right? It's not true. The Bible says whenever you look in your Bible, there are two Greek words for baptism. Anytime you look in your Bible, it is a Greek word bapto, B-A-P-T-O. It's used four times in the New Testament. It means to dip into. It means to submerge. And then there is another Greek word baptizo, B-A-T-I-Z-O. It's where we get the word baptism. It's a more intensive word. Watch this. And it always means to dip completely. It says to drown, submerge, and dunk. Watch this. So listen, whenever you read in your Bible about a baptism, it is never referring to drips of water on your head. It is always meaning to drown, dip, dunk, submerge in the water. Okay, I'm doing this for a reason, right? Because I'm trying to lay this out that something wrong with christening and that ain't why we do it. Now, let me give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. Baptism is not sprinkling water on your head. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 5, and 6, I want you to read along with me and notice what it says. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan. And what verse 6 says? And were baptized of him, what? Do you see that? It says they were baptized of him in Jordan. So if baptism is sprinkling water on your head, how many of you know that you could have saved me from going all the way out there? You could have just got some water in a cup and just brought that cup and sprinkled it on my head, and I never even needed to go out there. You will never find in the New Testament where baptism is sprinkling water on your head. You always had to get dunked. Look at your neighbor and say dunked. So that means some of you in here who need to get baptized and you don't want to get baptized because you don't want to get your hair and makeup wrong. The only way to really get baptized is you got to go fully under the water. And there's a reason for that. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and 16, listen what the Bible says. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And who are we talking about? Jesus, when he was baptized, what did he do? Went up straightway. Wait a minute now. Did I read that right? It says, when Jesus was baptized, he went up. Well, now, up is not, if he went up, then that means he had to be, right? So it says, Jesus went up straightway out of the water, then the heavens were opened, so forth, so forth, so forth. We all know it is. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself, when he was baptized, apparently was dunked. Because when he came up, he had to come up out of the water because it says he came straightway up, what? Out of the water, right? Now, here's the thing. That should be enough. Because if that's the way Jesus got baptized, then that's the way I want to be baptized, right? I mean, because we know there's no sin in Jesus, right? He did everything perfectly right. So if the way how Jesus did it was that he had to be completely dunked and immersed in the water, then that's the way how we should be dunked, right? So the Bible says that in the New Testament, every time a person was ever baptized, they were completely submerged. So that right there rules out this thing of dropping water on your forehead. You people say, well, why don't we don't do that? It's because that doesn't fit the New Testament model of baptism. So you can make a person feel like they've been baptized and they really haven't been baptized because baptism requires you to be dunked and immersed. Amen. Are you following along with me? So then the next question is, if that's what baptism is, being dunked and immersed, who should be baptized and when should you be baptized? In other words, should a child be baptized? Should an infant be baptized? Should someone who is a child or young be baptized in the first place? In the New Testament, the reason why we don't do this, listen, in the New Testament, only a person who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and is practicing and follow him should ever be baptized. Amen. Follow along with me. Listen, if you hear and you in church and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't qualify to be baptized. The only person who should ever be baptized is someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then they qualify to be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, listen to what the Bible says. In verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, this is Peter after he had preached, when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart. They were convicted in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? We're sinners. We recognize that we've messed up. What should we do? Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Watch verse 41. Then they that what? They that gladly received his word. Those who gladly received the teaching. Those who gladly received Christ were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So first there was the pricking of the heart, there was convicting of the heart, then there was repentance, then they received the word or they accepted Christ, then they were baptized. You don't baptize someone before they receive Christ. Hang on, I'm headed somewhere with it. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, listen to what the Bible says. It says, but when they believed Philip, y'all read this along with me. What does it say? But when they preaching the things and do you see any pre-qualifiers there? I'm headed somewhere with this. Remember, we're asking the question, who should be baptized and when? It says, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. So they had to believe them and understand them in order to believe them. It says, and the name of Jesus, then they were baptized. You see what I'm saying? That's when you baptize, when you receive it. Let me give you one more. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto them Jesus, verse 36, and as they, this is the eunuch, when Philip was ministering to them, he didn't understand, and Philip went and ministered the word to him. In verse 36, it says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? He's asking the question, here's some water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, read me, verse 37. You see that? Wait a minute. So was there any pre-qualifiers before he got baptized? Philip said, if you believe what? I'm headed there. I'm getting there. Believe what? If you believe on Jesus Christ and believe he is Lord and Savior, then you may be baptized. And he answered and says what? I that Jesus Christ is, that was the prerequisite. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when he heard that, he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both what? Into the water. He didn't go dip no water out of a cup and bring it up to him in the chariot or whatever he was in. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he what? And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit caught Philip away. So the prerequisite is you must first believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and accept him as Lord and Savior before you can be baptized. So if you're wondering the question, or let me flip the question to you this way. Can an infant make that determination? Can a small child, 5, 6, 7, 8, even if you will, even up to 9, are they really qualified to make that determination if Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior? Do they really know what they're doing? I would tell you they don't. And the danger is when you baptize children at a young age like that, you put in their mind something that never really happened in the first place. You put in their mind that some kind of way they were invited into a relationship with God, or they made a profession of their faith, and they really had no idea what they were doing in the first place, right? So before someone can be baptized, they have to be ready to make a commitment and a confession of who Jesus Christ is. Does that make sense? So then the question becomes in, some of you may be questioning, what is the purpose of being baptized in the first place? Why do I need to be baptized? Why does God tell me to be baptized? What's the point of doing baptized or this christening thing in the first place? And there's many reasons. I don't want to take too much time with that, but there's many reasons. You know, you get baptized because it's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? You know, when you get baptized, the Bible says that Jesus died, he was buried, and he. And so when you're getting baptized, you're identifying with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his. That's why you, listen, that's why sprinkling it on your head doesn't fit the whole thing. Like, you're dying, you're getting buried, and you're raising. Some of you are trying to skip out on fully identifying with Jesus because you don't want to go underneath the water. But the only model that works is you got to be submerged. Right? Jesus died. When you go underneath that water, you're symbolizing his death. When you come up, you're symbolizing resurrection life. Right? So one of the reasons is symbolically to identify with Jesus Christ. But the other reason is, and there's many, but I mean, the other reason is because it's your public identification with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You recognize that when you get baptized, most of the times you invite all your family and your friends, right? Why do you do that? Because you're basically coming out and telling the world that publicly I identify Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and I'm not ashamed to say it. That's literally what baptism is, right? Y'all know what, anybody in here ever pledge to fraternity or what they call them, sorority? I know some of y'all did. Y'all don't want to. I know, Greg, you did. Anybody else in here ever pledge? You know somebody who did pledge? You know, after they do all the work of all that pledging and all the stuff that they got to do, what do they do at the end after they've gone through all the stuff that you have to do? Well, for some of you who may not know, they have what is called a coming out party or whatever it is, to where they line them all up and they have, well, I don't know if they still do this or whatever, but when I was in school, they used to have bags over their faith, and then they would have them all lined up and they would invite everybody on campus and all the other Greek people and so forth, and they would have this unveiling, right, so that everybody can see that I am a Kappa, Alpha Kappa, whatever it is. I'm an Omega. I'm an Alpha dog. Right? I would do some of the moves, but they tell me now, if you do one of the moves and you ain't Greek, they're going, you're going to get a beat down. So I'm not going to do the move. I don't even know. I may not do it right. But the bottom line is that They have a public coming out, so everybody knows that you are an Alpha or whatever it is that you is. When you are baptized, you are publicly coming out to everybody saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior, and I want everybody to know it. So if you have not been baptized, I ask the question, why will you not let everybody know who your Savior is? Because remember, it's not just about you. It ain't about your hair and it ain't about none of that. It's about identifying with who your Lord and Savior is. Right? And if you really mean that, then you shouldn't be ashamed to claim him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. So let me close with this. The next question is, well then, if God tells me to do it, is baptism required for me to be saved? Has anybody ever heard that before? Do I have to be baptized in order to be saved? The answer is no, you don't. I always say it this way. Baptism is a reflection that you are saved. It doesn't save you, right? You get baptized because you are saved and you want to please the God who told you to be baptized. But baptism in itself does not save anybody. What saves a person? Come on, somebody, y'all up in here. How does a person get saved? It is Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else. You can't add anything to it. Sprinkling some water on you, dunking in some water, ain't going to get it done. It's the blood of Jesus Christ only that saves us. For example, John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what?" Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have. Salvation is not based off of what you do. It's based off of who your Savior is, right? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy the Lord, what? And shalt. You, wait a minute now, why am I giving you all these scriptures? Because I don't want you to rely on what I'm saying, right? Remember, this ain't about what any particular person thinks. It all gets back to what the Word of God says. You can open your Bible and go read this. The Bible says your salvation has nothing necessarily to do with baptism. Baptism is a reflection that you want to identify with your Savior. But it's not the water that saves you, it's the blood, right? And he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart, what is it that you believe? That God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Come on, somebody. Somebody give God a hand praise. Let me give you one more. Mark 15:15, many people always cling on to this one. He says in Mark 15:15, he says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 is where it trips some people up. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Watch this. And people stop there, right? And they say that, well, if you're not baptized, that you have to believe and be baptized, right? And they take the words of Jesus. But if you finish reading the whole sentence, Jesus says, but he that not shall be. Now, that might have went up over some heads, but go back and read that scripture verse later. He's saying, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But notice what Jesus says. He that believeth not. It's not that he that doesn't get baptized. Jesus says in the same sentence, he that believeth not shall be. You understand? So it's not the water that saves. It's belief in who I am. It's belief in what I've done that saves a person, right? Not baptism. So baptism is something that we do because we love Jesus and he commands us to do it, but it doesn't save you. Does that make sense? So when we have like the service, what we're about to do here in just a few minutes, I need you to understand, I ain't got no water. I ain't sprinkling nothing on no child's head. You know what we call this? A blessing ceremony. In other words, what we're doing is we're coming, we know this child has a purpose, and we ask the parents and the authorities to come, and we say all we want to do is pray that God's will is done in your child's life. That God our Father will lead and guide him or her as they grow up, and whatever it is that God wants them to do, we just want to agree with God and what he wants to do in your child's life. And then as they get older to where they can make their own decision of whether or not they want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we'll baptize them then. But I just want you to know now, we don't christen or baptize children for the reasons that I gave. Does that make sense at all? Did that clear up anything for anybody in here? Because I have that come to me all the time. Well, Pastor, I thought that we were supposed to christen. No, we don't christen here. We bless. Amen. Does that make sense? Okay, so I want y'all to get ready. We're going to bless this child, and we're going to pray God's will and blessing all over the life, and that God is going to do tremendous things. Listen, this may be the next president of the United States in here. And Kendra, I ain't laughing. This may be, you know, you never know who your child is. They never knew who Moses was. I'm sure Barack Daddy had no idea he was going to be the president of the United States. And so we just want to agree with God. Father, right now.